Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with co-host, teacher and socialist Andy Lipson and community organizer and socialist Kenny Cepeda. We are online at what-s-left.webno.com. Please subscribe, rate, review, share your favorite episode wherever you found this episode, and turn on your notifications to be able to receive it. Thank you. Today we will be discussing for Thanksgiving week, or Turkey Day tomorrow, as most people, even though I'm vegetarian, masks to wear or not to wear? That is the question that I'm sure a lot of families are experiencing during this week, during vacation. Last week was the highest in traveling. There was a spike in transportation since March. So most families, most community are congregating together in some shape, way, or form, whether it be in the cold or inside or with a heater on, without a mask or with a mask. So we thought we'd tackle it. Andy, you switched it up on us today.
Yeah, I mean, initially, we had talked before because, you know, tomorrow for all of us, well, does everyone here do like a Thanksgiving thing, Kenny, Eduardo?
We eat together because we happen to have that night off, you know, otherwise we wouldn't see each other.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, it's Thanksgiving. A lot of people don't have, you know, the vacation time. So
I normally go to Alcatraz for the ceremony, which is on early in the morning.
Right.
But yeah, like Kenny, I think our families, being a Mexican family, it's not anything big like in Latin America, but because the day is off, you just happen to be with your family.
It's right. An excuse to party for us.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to, when we were ending our last episode, I was like, let's keep it light. Let's maybe like just chat about some questions we have for each other. And we were kind of ready to do all that. And then Eduardo, you had called me about like, you know, some of the challenging conversations you've had. Look, this is not, I'm calling myself a bit of an anti-masker. I'm calling you a bit of a masker. We can all self-identify during the course of this episode if we want. But, you know, you were having challenges dealing with some family issues around differences around the question of wearing masks, not wearing masks, and people arguing about that. And you asked me if I was facing that kind of stuff. And I struggle with it too. It's like me and my partner, Brandy, by the way, we have a date set now for our wedding, despite the fact that we might argue. So save the month of October 2021, and I'll tell you the date later. but we actually, if there's a number of challenges we've had to navigate as because of some differences as how we see COVID and things like that. And what do we describe as feeling safe? And so I thought it would be actually, in light of the fact that you were asking me how I deal with this, and thought it might be good to talk about how do we deal with this in all these different circumstances, because I've had to, it forced me to think about, there are many different episodes I have with people where I have to figure out, despite what I feel about this mask, what I believe, how do I approach this with people, depending on how close I am to them, not just in terms of space, but emotionally. So I thought it'd be worth talking about, because I actually do think these are conversations that are required. Not what Gavin Newsom thinks. I know what that effer thinks, or Fauci. But what do we think in light of, yes, stuff coming in, but we still have to deal with each other. So I felt like, let's have this conversation here. So I think of it more as a conversation about mask etiquette, almost.
Yeah, seems about right. So I guess, thanks, and it will. Well, I think this is a most appropriate subject matter for this week, and I agree. Something that comes up, so it was all right that you could that you decided that maybe we should have changed it. So I guess we could each of us share what is our general attitude of masks, personally.
Okay, I mean, for me, I wear a mask, you know, around people. I work in a restaurant, the restaurant industry. So it's kind of, you know, part of making feel making people feel safe. I at home, I don't wear a mask. My mom occasionally wears it in the car with me, depending on, you know, whether she thinks I've been socializing or not. But overall, you know, I think mask is more of a, like a mental, like, it's just a symbol of safety, because I've seen people misuse masks all the time, you know, like wearing it under the nose or dirty ass masks, you know, or like some other dirty, like, cloth. And so in effect, you know, like, and same with gloves, like, just want to throw that in there, because I've seen people do some crazy shit with gloves, like, in different businesses. And so it, in effect, I think it's just an illusion of safety when it comes to, you know, because, you know, you can still transmit this thing, you know, if it's, you know, if it's as, you know, as they say. So generally, I do wear a mask just to give the impression of safety. I don't believe it, like, it's completely foolproof. On the contrary, I think it might make some people more, like, you know, willing to take some risk. But I'm very skeptical of it, you know, whether it's effective or not, you know, just because, again, it's more symbolic than effective, I think.
I think that if masks are used properly, they can be effective. You're supposed, I personally, I'll speak for myself, I'm not going to talk about what you're supposed to. I personally use one a day. And if it is cloth, I'll use it for a limited amount of hours. And then I'll switch it. I don't touch, as I said in the other episode, I don't touch my face, because that's what the mask also brings you to do. You touch your face a lot. I touch it from up here and lift it up. Or if I need to eat, I remove it from here, from the sides. And then I put it in a special bag I have. So I do try to do my best. And that's not because of COVID. That I think before that, even when you wash your hands, I was washing my hands in between before COVID, or that's why I have dry hands. And in general, I personally do think that it can be effective. But when I watch everyone else use it, I can see why it's not effective. So I try to remind folks I feel comfortable with how to use it, or I try to model and I don't tell people how to use it. I'm not going to tell someone who I see at Rainbow Grocery to use it properly. And, you know, or I'm not going to say something at the park when I see a mother super paranoica, like, super cautious, and then still touching her face constantly. And, like, she's not actually being very... I do think that proper hygiene is important. And I just think that's in general with anything. I think I wrote to you once in a postcard, Andy, when I was traveling in the UK and I was part of the music festival scene and I joined a bunch of musicians and a circus, how a lot of them didn't shower, didn't wash their hands. They ate. And it was just terrible. And then they got sick. And then I got sick because someone served me food, you know, and I don't get sick in my own country. And then I got sick, you know, first world country, UK, because people's hygiene and smells and everything. So I do think that a lot of people are not using it properly. But I do think they're effective, and not just for COVID. I think that if you have the flu, I've now thought this is actually something, if people want to participate and they do have the flu, but they don't want to be isolated, maybe they can stay apart and use the mask. And just in general, I think that's a proper way to socialize if you just are going to be adamant about socializing. In general, I don't think about it just COVID. I think if you're sick, if you have a cold, if you have a common cold, if you have the flu, if you have COVID now, which is a part of our list of diseases or contagious diseases, I think you should just do these safety protocols. You should say some, I don't know if it's 2 meters or 6 feet or 12 feet now. However, it's, you should just stay some distance apart. And I think people have tried. When I used to get sick, I used to say, "Oh, don't hug me, right? I'm a little, I have a cold." That was pre-COVID. I know people are not that conscientious, which I understand. But I do think you should wear it if you're going to wear it properly. Yeah, I'll just talk about me personally. I'll get into my family and stuff afterwards.
My beliefs are that this mask that I do wear at times provides no resistance to COVID, nothing meaningfully in resistance to COVID. and is actually a mixed bag of potentially giving me just as much a chance of infection as non-infection through other indirect ways. So I don't believe the mask helps at all. In some ways, I do think it more likely hurts. It probably definitely hurts for me because I don't use it in the way that people prescribe. And if I was going to use it, then I'd probably talk to you, Eduardo, and say, hey, how should I use this thing? But I don't think it actually helps at all. But I do wear the mask in the same way that, you know, they used to say, no shoes, no shirt, no service if you go into a place. Well, now you have to add a mask to that. So I'll generally wear a mask when I go into a place. And then when I meet people for the first time. And sometimes when I'm outside, but generally I take it off my face so I can breathe. So I would describe myself as a pretty much an anti-masker. Don't think it really helps at all. And I do think it hurts us in a lot of both social, emotional ways and potentially medical ways.
May I just comment that I don't think that we should be wearing it constantly the entire time, because I agree with you in social, emotional ways. When I am with my friends who are deaf themselves, it's challenging to sign when most of their expressions are on their face. Yeah. And I've tried to get, this is the sign for masks, and I tried to get a see-through one, and it just gets fogged up, which then gets icky because in the fog, and after an hour, it becomes really disgusting, really yucky. So I do agree with that area that when I said that I think it should be worn, I'm talking about if you're sick. I think you're sick. And I agree with Kenny that it is largely symbolic, you know. But again, if it was used properly, you know, most people don't use it as well as, I mean, just me maybe, I don't know. And not like I'm super CDC sort of investigator. I also just think it's a West versus East thing. You know, we are all Westerners. We're on the West side. And it's just more of a also cultural thing. We're not used to it. We don't like it.
Well, people, I mean, say West, people in California love this damn mask. As far as, I mean, they wear it around me religiously. So,
you know what I mean? I mean, I think that they're making it work. But normally, if this COVID is done, the trend's going to be gone. It's not something like in Asia where they had SARS, and then after SARS eventually declined, they still continued wearing the masks. This is a trend. Eventually, yeah. I can just imagine, and anyone can quote me here, eventually you'll see once COVID is vaccine, once it's under control and everything, people are going to stop using it. Right now, it's a trend.
I don't think that's the case, but I think it's going to be a larger feature of our future, because this is not the only bio hazard we're going to hear about, because this is going to be part of the political, just like there wasn't just one terrorist attack under the war on terror, you know, like we had to have a few more to really get the thing going. This is going to be the season for the next many, many years of biomedical threats, of medical or biological threats that we have to put. So, but anyway, that's.
But I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm just talking about like when it does come, there'll be a decline, though. You understand? Yeah. That's what I'm referring to. I just don't think people want to continue. I mean, people are so Instagram centered. Yeah. People don't want to be wearing a mask all the time. But again, it's just my personal.
This situation has created a lot of people that are hypersensitive to just all this, you know, and fearing anything and everything, you know, and that is the irony, right? Like Lipson kind of mentioned that, you know, like for example, mask, right? A lot of us, I wear disposable masks. My coworker brought up a good point. It's like, we don't know how this shit was made. You wouldn't know what material was this made. We don't know what the long-term repercussions are going to be for prolonged use of this mask. You know, for respiratory, you know, issues in mass, you know, like, and it's supposed to be for our safety, right? Like, but we're not asking these other questions. And if you don't, you know, not only is it bad etiquette, but especially in California, in a lot of, you know, you are seen as an ignorant, backwards person to be shamed, you know, and to be policed. And so it's not, obviously, just not just the physical repercussions, because I also wonder, like, what about allergies? We're supposed to be exposed to things, you know, and here we are wearing these things for prolonged time, you know. So I wonder, like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how allergies work, but are people going to develop allergies, you know, long term? You know, and like you said, the emotional part, like me and my friends, we go hiking a lot. And when we're together, we relax. And truth be told, it's like we're hiking, we're breathing hard. And so if one of us has it, the other one's going to get it. You know, like according to, you know, the storyline, right? Like, but yeah, we're tired of like not seeing each other's facial expressions, you know, the smiles, the emotions just of communicating and just being human. You know, because yeah, like you mentioned your friends that use sign language, but it's just a human thing, you know, like to be able to see someone's, you know, body language and like, you know, I don't know what the percentage is of how, you know, how much information we could convey, you know, with our faces. I'm raising my eyebrows right now, but yeah, I mean, I just have a lot more questions, you know, and for me, it's not worth it. Like that world where we are, you know, more distant, more afraid of each other, more afraid of everything, you know, and, you know, like, kind of Biden and Kamala have hinted in their website, like, you know, they want to dial it up or down. So if that's the future that we want, so we're going to be yo-yos to, you know, to anybody's whim, really, you know, and so I think that's a lot more dangerous and it will have a lot more repercussions, you know, and will lead to a lot more morbidity, more, you know, issues, you know, yeah. And so in the same time, it's like, you know, like we want to control everything. We want to control, you know, like nature very much. And like, isn't this kind of part of being nature? And I just think it's, yeah, whatever. But I do respect if people want to wear it. And I do like Lipson when I meet people. And when we're in cars, I ask, you know, are you okay with me taking it off? You know, are you... And generally, it's fine.
Yeah, I think maybe we should get into just some of the ways we deal with it. And I'll start with a story, because there's many stories to be told here potentially, and we'll see how it goes. The first thing that comes to mind to me is like there's a number of like former students I've met this summer, and even and then people I get together with. But I think about it more in terms of former students because I don't see them as socially. So when I'm meeting them, I'm in some ways meeting them for the first time under COVID. And for all of them, I wore my mask and then I met them and then we didn't hug. I would then ask, you know, like, hey, are you cool with this coming down or not? And if they were not, I would keep it on. If they were, then I would bring it down. And then if they were okay with hugging, if that seemed appropriate, you know, we would like particularly when we departed, like when we split up, you know, say goodbye. An area that's interesting for me, like, is where me and my partner differ. Not just differ, but also, like, we both recognize that if we both got sick, like just like sick, I'll get sick for 2 days and she'll get sick for 2 weeks. Like that's just the situation. Like, and that's like our constitutions. She also did have pneumonia once, like a respiratory thing, and it really wiped her out. Like, it wasn't even full on pneumonia; it was partial pneumonia, and it knocked her out for like weeks and a month or something like that, or maybe even longer. And so for her, even though we both recognize the likelihood of dying from COVID is very small, the effects for her if she got COVID are worse than it would be for me, on average, in terms of our constitution. So she's like, you know, hey, if you're going to meet up with somebody and drive with them, I'd like you to wear a mask. And I wouldn't do that normally. But I do that because my partner feels safer that way and doesn't want me to just think that I'm just running around in a non-ventilated thing and ask me to open the windows and things like that. So in general, I do try to do that. I sometimes lose track of it and things like that, but I do try to honor it. And I think that's, while I can't say I like it, I also do think it's important to kind of like, if you're going to be with somebody, and you're going to have to recognize that we have different levels of both beliefs around this, but also different levels of fragility. So that's something we navigate a lot. And so that's one of the ways we deal with it. I just want to share that story.
I wanted to respond to what Kenny had said, because I think it's important. I don't mean to just say that deaf people, Kenny is right. Every human, I mean, we had Stephen Rico and Tracy Burt who were here in an episode who said that children learn best in a 3D interaction in communication, social, emotionally, with body language, expressions in the face and everything. And I don't think that dies off. Of course, it supports them when they are learning best, when they're young that way. But I think we continue being that way, even in our adulthood, no? So I do take off my mask when I feel comfortable with certain people, with my nephew, for example. I will take it off when I feel comfortable with people who feel comfortable with me. And I will take it off. I will put it on when I feel people have health issues very strong, like my friend who has asthma and has had really bad asthma to the point where she was hiking in Los Angeles and a helicopter came and picked her up because she could not breathe, right? And so if people have respiratory issues, and this is one that does affect the lungs, I don't want to put my friend in jeopardy if she definitely feels scared or, you know, I'm not a doctor and going to say, oh, the levels of this, but the levels of her anxiety is what I'm more concerned about more than anything, over me doing something that may be risky. So I do try to honor every which way I can with her to do things as she would like it. One of my friends, when I visit her, but I do struggle with, especially one particular family member, where I thought we had similar approaches to the mask, which is to use it when we are in social gatherings, especially with people who would prefer us to wear our masks. But somehow he doesn't want me to use the mask for his child when we go out, or if we go in the car, or, you know, if we're indoors, try to put the mask lower to the nose, or to, you know. And there's nothing I've read that you can breathe in carbon dioxide. Maybe any of you can share about that, or that you're going to suffocate from using a mask unless you clearly have your face structure or your breathing issues or whatever, that you're not going to be able to breathe. I think the masks aren't even that strongly wrapped around your face if you get a good fitting for it. So I guess my struggle is just trying to navigate how we are going to be together when we constantly see each other and amongst other friends when masks have to be worn. We argued today, and I was going to take out his son out on a field trip today to the Academy of Sciences. And inside the Academy of Sciences, you have to wear a mask all times, the entire time, even kids his age at six now. And what do you do? I'm going to follow what the Academy of Science is asking us to do, because we're in a building. We're not outside. I know a lot of people feel comfortable getting close to you if you do wear a mask, but if you don't have it, people do stare. And it isn't so much that I care about what people think, but I do think that for a child, the sort of staring, the sort of awkwardness of everyone watching and not being able to comprehend these things sort of, and I try to explain it at a child's level, sometimes isn't worth having that child feel like everyone's watching us and trying to police us. I'd rather have those conversations as an adult with other people talking to me if I'm not doing something. But for a child to feel uncomfortable for people to approach us, I don't want to have that experience. So he canceled on me. He just said, nope, I don't want that from my child. So I said, all right. Well, I mean, I set the entire day for an outing. I thought I was doing you a favor, but I guess not.
I mean, yeah, that just highlights, you know, that people have different levels of anxieties around this that don't all align with regards to the virus itself. I do find it kind of funny, interesting that the Academy of Sciences is kind of forcing kids to do this, you know, especially when we talked about last episode about reopening schools, you know, and so the Academy of Sciences, you know, like, what are they basing their mandate on? You know, we're like, it's probably like also policy, right? Like, but you know, I do think there is some value in questioning, you know, why we're doing this. Just like the curfew that was brought on, you know, in different regions of California, right? Like a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew, you know. And I think a lot of people have a lot more questions about that than the mask itself. And especially like kids, you know, like, I don't know, but I do. I mean, but I hear like what you're saying, you know, like I have coworkers who have different levels of anxiety and sometimes their logic doesn't align, but they feel anxiety and it's real. You know, like I have a coworker who, at the beginning of this thing, they were wearing the same mask with their partner for a month, the same mask. And this person has a condition, you know, that could potentially be deadly if they got COVID. But you see the logic doesn't align, right? Like they're wearing the same mask with the partner who might be going out. But yet the person felt anxiety and felt peace from the mask. But again, the logic, the science does not align there. So I do respect, you know, because I also have another friend who had the virus. And while this person was in quarantine, the symptoms were very like mild. The thing that gave her a lot of issues was the anxiety around the situation. She felt she couldn't breathe, but when we talked, she would come down. You know, and you know, because when you put things into perspective, you know, and so again, like there are a lot of consequences as to the constant driving of all these, you know, notion of how deadly this is, the worst case scenarios, you know, oh yeah, but this one kid had this situation, this one person had this one situation. Of course, if you look at the world that way, it looks dangerous. And that's my concern, that there's a lot of anxiety, unnecessary anxiety around this, you know. And again, people's logic doesn't align, really. It's hard, you know, people have different opinions.
Like I don't agree. They're very well likely are going to. We already have a kind of a mandate in California, right? That you have to enter a business with that. They may now go to federal, national, public mandates that if you're in a public space at all, you have to wear a mask. I don't agree with any of those sorts of things, and I don't really agree ideologically with the idea that I should have to wear a mask when I go into a store. But I do it, and I think the only way I would not do it is either some sort of Rosa Parks moment where I'm looking to get arrested and you want to make a case, like that kind of thing, or if there is a movement going on for taking these masks off, which I would support. And I do think there is going to need to be a move to fight what's taking place, to fight the fourth industrial revolution. I actually, and the global reset, I actually believe part of that is going to be an anti-mask movement that I think is going to have to become a feature of it. That's my belief. But we don't have it right now, at least not in this country. There's some of that brewing in Europe. And so I would not want to get into a fight with an employee. Like, I don't want to wear my mask and you can't tell me what to do. I don't think that's right. And generally, if in a public space where I know people, I will start from the vantage point of assuming that everyone I know always feels comfortable without a mask, unless I hear from them. That's why I ask. The area where I do get into a little bit of an issue is when I'm just walking by myself, I'm not with anyone, and I'm outside, and there have been a few times where people have said something, put your mask on, and I won't. And I'll make a friendly but clearly snarky comment back to them. and about whatever. And that's just that I'm not going to have somebody who's feet away from me, many feet away from me, telling me to put a mask on, and I'm just not going to do it. If out in public. And again, when the mandates happen, they're going to be able to have more sway, and I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to do then. Cause I've heard that, you know, that's something in the wind. But the when I'm with Brandy and walking, then I put my mask on and I don't get into any trouble with people, you know, cause she's uncomfortable with that. She just doesn't like that drama. And that's something that it grates on me a little bit, cause I don't want somebody telling me something, but I'm walking with my, you know, fiance, I don't think I should be looking to start fights with people or leave even some sort of public bicker. So that's the situation. And I do feel like this is all part of this terrain we're navigating, because I do think we have to, whether or not I agree with somebody, let's say me, Eduardo, you and I, let's say we didn't really agree. And I think we probably don't, but we do have to start from a place of respect. And the place of respect does start with me wearing a mask around you. If that's something you felt comfortable with, it doesn't start with the respect of you bringing your mask down to accommodate me. Because again, we're dealing with safety levels here. And we want to try to, I feel like you're trying to find a place where, if we're all going to be together, where everyone, whether it's in your head or whether it's real, we all feel safe to be like, okay, we can relax a little bit. And so that is my, I do still feel like there's, you know, those of us who don't agree with the mask, probably do among our friends and colleagues and in demonstrations, we have to start from the mask vantage point until we can make headway on getting more people to join us and taking it down.
Quite honestly, I'm not afraid of getting COVID from someone who doesn't wear their mask. But I have seen countless videos of how much, even by talking, is being transmitted, that now after watching those videos, it's not so much COVID I'm afraid of. I don't want those germs, whatever is going on there, to be. So I would only ask people to wear the mask if I feel they're talking very passionately, because I would then realize they're sharing a lot.
Do you know that phrase, say it, don't spray it?
That's right.
Put your mask now you can just say, put your mask on, please.
I definitely identify with that, Eduardo, because I have some friends that fucking spit a lot, and I'm like, no, where the
fuck? It's true. It's not the COVID I'm afraid of, really, I promise, but I'll use the COVID as an excuse from now on. It's like, oh, you know. No, I think it helps, and thank you for sharing, both of you. It is a struggle, and it's like a spectrum, no? There are the really radical anti-maskers, and then there are people who are locking themselves in confinement completely. They're just shutting out. They're the people who are spraying their bags that come from takeout or, you know, or whatever. And then you have the other ones who are just basically spitting at people, get COVID, you know? So I think that there's this, right? I feel as if I'm more towards... What would we call? So we're going to say liberals. Sorry, I'm going to say liberals are the maskers. I think I'm more center right when it comes to masks. I wouldn't say I'm an anti-masker, but I do think that there is value in our expressions. I do think that there is value in just congregating together and not through these virtual realities. And I do know that you can get sick, and having traveled abroad in 20 different countries, I know you can get sick by anything. I've gotten sick. I've had amoebas in my stomach. I mean, in my guts. I've had, you know, so you can get sick by almost anything. So I'm not necessarily afraid, but thank you for bringing that up. Both of you have said it in some shape, way, or form, the etiquette of when you are in group or in community with people, I think, more than anything, and as Kenny said, it's symbolic. I think more than anything, it's being polite, or there's a certain etiquette around the people you love or the people you're in community with. And as Kenny said, if some, you know, going into a vehicle or something, you know, should I wear a mask? Should I not? Or you, when you meet your students. I think that's important. And I hope that anyone listening to this, especially people who don't, I just touched my face as we're talking about hiding. I hope that anyone who is going to be listening to this comes away with that it isn't so much COVID, it's more about our relationships, I think. Although some might argue that it is about COVID, and we want to, I want to respect that. But what I'm noticing and or observing in this conversation is about our relationships and respecting others, if that's the etiquette, that's the etiquette we're talking about, no?
I mean, I would put myself, I guess you're saying the liberal position is really heavy mask and the right wing position is anti-mask, right? That's the way you're
Yeah.
I would put myself on that pretty far right, like from that spectrum you're putting.
From there. This spectrum.
Yeah. But I also know I'm gonna need people to fight this. So, you know, like one, there is an internal politeness that I have, but two, I this isn't going to be fought by me taking my own personal stand and just showing, you know, that, like, again, Rosa Parks, it wasn't just, she had an organization around her when she took that individual stand. So I could see doing something like that if the time came and if the moment came and I did have an organization of people around me who were fighting for something. So my reasons for taking that are politeness, but also political. That is, I want to convince us to take these things off, but you got to start from the vantage point of where can we all meet? Cause I want to do that. Like I want to get back in the classroom. And in reality, if I had the perfect classroom, I would be in a classroom where parents didn't want their kids wearing masks and I would be teaching them. That's the situation I would like, but I'm not sure Brandy would be comfortable. First of all, I'm not sure Brandy would be comfortable with that, you know, and I don't think I'd be able to do that, right? I think I probably have to agree to teach in that classroom where we wore masks, you know, by virtue of one for my relationships, but also potentially if I was organizing with people and some of those people were more concerned about masks, they might not want to organize with a teacher who was in that sort of. So there are an array of circumstances and things I'd have to think about when I make choices about where I'm going to place myself. And so I don't know. I'm not sure that's confusing, but those are some things that come to my mind.
Yeah. But I mean, it feels like a minefield though, right? You know, because, you know, at least at the moment, if we simplify things, yeah. Like if you're an anti-masker, you're probably a right winger, you know, you're a Trump supporter and, you know, so, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, cause I don't know if I'm like a complete anti-masker. I'm like, you know, I'm somewhat like, all right, I get it. You know, like it's an imposition. It's not a, in many ways. And I'm afraid of what I see actually of the policing of each other.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, because of that anxiety, because I think that's the most damaging thing here. You know, I tend to just stay quiet now because I'm like, pick your battles.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I see some people that are policing others, but they themselves are doing, you know, those things we talked earlier, you know, like the, you know, the, but again, it just goes back to policing and enforcing, you know, and like shaming people and making you conform, you know, and as if this is the absolute truth. You know, and like the anxiety stems from, you know, that expectation not being met, regardless of evidence. And a lot of that anxiety is dependent on the state information being fed to people. And that's what's concerning because, like I mentioned in another show, my family's experience with COVID and what we went through in my friends, you know, I had a couple of friends actually that have gone through it. When you see it, it's like everyone's deflecting up. You know, doctors who are supposed to be, you know, the people that I know about this, your personal physicians, they deflected to the city. And then the city deflected to the state deflects to the federal government. And I mean, if we don't see danger in that, you know, I don't know what to tell people. But in that, I think that's what's happened. Like everyone just automatically assumes that the state has the best interest for us with this information.
And my hope for this episode, if it encourages anything, is not for people to say, oh, I agree with Andy or Eduardo or Kenny or Eduardo's friend, you know. I would hope people would think, what I wanted this episode to bring out is the fact that we're going to have these conversations with each other about these things. It's another area of politeness and etiquette and associating. And I actually think it is a barrier, and it's intentionally a barrier, but it is one we're going to have to navigate, and we're going to have to put that discussion out in the open in order to allow some of that barrier to come down. Because I do believe that the plan that puts us in masks and puts us in lockdown is a plan of separation and isolation. And we will have to break out of that, but we're going to need to break out of that with people who have different levels of security risks, whether it's in their mind or whether it's real. And if we want to bring everyone with us, we're going to have to navigate that.
I guess it's easier to create fear than destroy it.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I do feel also that I already got COVID, so I do feel as if I'm speaking from knowing that with the recent research that you have, what is it, T blood cells? Antibodies. Antibodies. Yeah, antibodies. So I do feel as if I walk through life with friends or family a little more confident. But I do wear it amongst people who I feel they need it. And I know that my aunt, who I'm going to visit in Mexico, who takes care of my great grandfather, who's 90 something years old, is already asking me to sort of isolate myself somewhat, because she's very protective of her father. And I will do it because of reasons like that. So,
I don't know. This is just an observation. It doesn't have to be in the episode, but I just find it interesting that you are very careful. You're probably one of the person that takes the most care out of all three of us.
Yeah.
You got it. You know, my brother was isolating, you know, like my brother was following everything and he got it, you know. Shows that, you know, it's like it's not a foolproof thing that if you take all the precautions that you won't get it, you know. And also like the fact that it's not a death sentence, you know. And you know, my brother still can't smell. His quality of life has been affected, but he himself, he's tired of this bullshit, you know, of the distancing, of the mask, you know, even though he can't smell, you know. And yeah, it's been like 4 months. He smells strawberries and like burnt stuff, and like most things don't taste very good. He has to add more salt to things sometimes. Imagine that. That's dangerous, you know. So I see how it affects potentially people, but he's not like anxious about it or worrying about it, you know. Once we lost that fear at home, now home is more normal. Like I remember the first like couple months, we kept my mom isolated in the room. She's 65, and we were like, you know, we were protecting her. You know, we were deciding on her behalf. You know, and then my mother, she was sent back to work, and she's like, and they she saw how they were pushing them and exposing them more for profit, and she's like, fuck this. And then she went to Vegas, and then people were shaming my mom for going to Vegas. She had to hide from a lot of people because she went to Vegas, you know, and she flew in a plane and she came back. And, you know, again, I don't know, like we're kind of stopped. We're resuming our lives, you know, and it feels good, you know, like we're more normal. We're not anxious.
I promise Brandy I'll wear the mask.
Brandy is your I can't tell who's who, but either Brandy is your mole towards me, or you and her talk too much. I know you two were texting each other today, both commiserating about what a pain in the butt I am.
So I guess I'm disinvited to your place. I mean, I'll wear a mask if you want me to, Brandy. I'll bring bubble wrap.
I think we should all do bubble wrap. It'll be really fun. We'll just knock around each other.
That's touching. That's touching. Oh, you see, already you're breaking the rule.
Oh, God.
My God.
Holy smokes. Man.
Anyhow, I hope that whoever is having out there their Thanksgiving Day celebrations sort of also don't use these or not. Don't fight over this. I guess it becomes quite problematic when you're with loved ones, especially during the time of vacation.
But I do think it's worth communicating about.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
But not to get hung up on it.
You may argue.
You know, I would hope to be in some homes where, like, grandmas are like, fuck it, take it off. You know, just it's my life. You know, like.
Yeah, maybe so. Since this is a Thanksgiving episode, kind of, it'll be posted 2 days after Thanksgiving. Maybe we can do this because I didn't warn you about this, but maybe each person could share something they're thankful for or some things they're thankful for in one of the crappiest years on record.
All right.
You want me to start?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll give you time because I've already had time to think about it. So first off, I'm thankful for I had some encounters with two former students this week that were just very like just reminded me of the connection of the classroom, and they wanted to meet up and stuff like that, I'm very thankful to be able to have that. I'm very thankful for my partnership with my fiance Brandy, and you know, we've gotten through some difficult moments. We had some difficult moments yesterday, and but today we have our venue and we have a date set for our marriage, and I'm very thankful for her patience and partnership. She listens to these episodes. She was laughing about some of our mask stuff on the last episode where I have that same mask for a month, and she was like, oh my God. I'm thankful for our dog Kizmo. I'm thankful for the time I got to spend with our other dog Naboo, and I'm thankful for what we're doing here, for you Kenny and for you Eduardo. It means a lot to me to even be able to do this in a holiday way. You know, like I know we set the responsibility of coming here each week, but you all take this very seriously. I do think there's a role for this podcast and channel, and I think there'll be more opportunities for us to get important stuff out there. I'm glad I have this. I'm glad I have this with you too, because I trust you a lot for being able to be safe, but able to express what's really on my mind. So that's a lot of thankful, but I want to hog up thankful because this year sucked.
All right.
I guess I'm thankful for my family. They, you know, we don't get too low or too high, you know, and we are very well. They make lemonade out of lemons, and you know, we very quickly when we have something shitty happen, very quickly make it into something, you know, funny and cope with it and like, you know, kind of flush it out. You know, including this year, you know, which has been rough, and now we kind of laugh about things, and so, you know, they're supportive in their own way, and like I think it's kept me sane, especially my brother who laughs every day, even though through, you know, the stuff that he's going through. But yeah, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the group of friends I have, people that are very caring, supportive, and wonderful in so many ways. And, you know, thankful that we've gone through the trenches together, you know, and we're still doing things. Again, thankful for you too for this space. I know you two started this and added me on later, and it's I'm thankful because this allows me that space for me to think and process and learn. And I think it's important, you know, for me to speak my mind and maybe my crazy stuff will plant the seed somewhere for someone or something, you know? I'm thankful that my family in Guatemala is safe. You know, the hurricanes kind of affected them, and they were lucky compared to a lot of other people. But overall, I'm just, you know, thankful to be alive and healthy, mm-hmm. you know, and again, just having wonderful people around me. And,
well, I guess I'll start with saying I'm thankful for both of you as well, for the space that we're able to have this moment in time to share our political views and with the world, whoever is watching out there. I'm thankful to those that do watch us yeah. or listen to us. Listen, I know a lot that listen more so than watch. And I'm thankful for my family. My brother, my partner, and my mother, and I'm grateful for the community I have built with within my learning pod. They are so great. And if they do watch this, I want them to know how much I appreciate them for the community we have built and our struggles through navigating some challenges. And especially building the community that we have built for the kids that we have, because we're the tios and tias of each one of them. And they really do, they're flourishing. And I'm just so grateful that they have that opportunity that other children unfortunately do not have. And I hope they will have. They're just thriving. So I'm grateful that they look out for me, or they help me, and I support them as well. I'm also grateful for the access, I guess, I have to my family in Mexico that I know I sometimes take for granted when I'm among some people and they tell me that they wish they could see their family and I could just take a bus ride down or a car drive down or a plane. And I think about, more so now I feel I have thought about it, how difficult it is in these last years that people are not able to cross over or see their family. And that must be challenging when you're isolated. Yeah, I'm just grateful for my family there, that I'm able to be with them. Thank you. All right. So that does it for this week's episode. What's Left is a weekly political podcast as Channel Challenge in the Mainstream Left. We post information about our topics and our guests on the episode notes, wherever you found this episode, or on our blog at what-s-left.webnode.com. And you can find past episodes to this podcast as channel there. Connect with us. I remind folks that if you like anything that you have heard here, please share your favorite episode, rate, review, subscribe, turn on your notifications to any of our 6 platforms on Spotify, iTunes Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, BitChute, or YouTube. And if you would like to give us feedback about something you've heard or suggest something for us to cover, contact us through our blog. I'm Eduardo Barca with co-host Kenny Cepeda and Andy Lipson, and see you all next time. Wear your mask properly next time, Andy.
Never.